Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Dozens of Colorado sheriffs are roundly rejecting a wild claim being made by Republican candidate for governor Scott Bottoms. State Rep Bottoms says Colorado has been overrun by 45,000 to 50,000 Venezuelan gang members, and that sheriffs are even preparing to deputize Special Forces veterans to fight the foreign invaders. So we reached out to all 60-plus sheriffs in Colorado and could not find a single one who says that Bottoms is telling the truth.
They are foreign invaders on our soil, in our state, in the United States.
It's quite the claim from Republican gubernatorial candidate and state rep Scott Bottoms that the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua is taking over rural Colorado.
Right now there are about 45 to 50,000 Venezuelan cartel in the state of Colorado.
Bottoms tells me his claims come from ICE officials, but a spokesperson for ICE in Denver says its leadership in Colorado has not met with or talked with Bottoms. And the U.S. government's National Counterterrorism Center estimates that TDA's total worldwide membership is no more than 5,000 people. Bottom says 10 times that number are in Colorado alone, and his claims get more outlandish.
We talked to some sheriffs that are going to deputize these special forces guys so that they can go and...
He's predicting a battle to come.
That group is very, very heavily armed, and the rules of engagement are not going to be nice.
So I reached out to every sheriff in Colorado. Not one backed up Bottom's claims. More than 40 sheriffs, Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliated, told us they saw no evidence of a Venezuelan cartel takeover in their county, and they're not preparing to deputize people for a fight. Ouray County Sheriff Justin Perry called it absurd. Kit Carson County Sheriff Travis Belden said, "I don't know where Scott's getting his information, but it's certainly not from me, and I'd be amazed if he heard that directly from any other sheriff." So where is Representative Bottoms getting this stuff? He sent 9 News a long statement that didn't provide evidence, but did point to one sheriff by name as ready to deputize people to fight the cartels, Republican Teller County Sheriff Jason Meixel.
I have been a sheriff a long time. You can't just deputize people, right?
Sheriff Meixel strongly rejected Bottoms' claims and suggested that the top-line candidate in June's Republican primary is simply confused about things he's seeing on the news.
I think that's where the problem lies, right? Confusion to some degree, but you still have to take it upon yourself to go out and find what's really happening and how to fix it.
Representative Bottoms, whose day job outside the legislature is being the pastor at the church at Briargate in Colorado Springs, has made wild, unsubstantiated claims in the past. He says that there's a pedophile ring operating at the state capitol, but he says that local law enforcement and anti-trafficking groups in Colorado are corrupt. So he's only willing to work with some unnamed FBI agents from out of state. Colorado is scaling back its ban on discrimination by artificial intelligence. The governor was never quite comfortable with the sweeping law that was passed 2 years ago, even though he signed it. And today, he signed a watered-down revision after AI developers threatened to leave the state. So starting in 2027, companies will be required to notify customers if AI is used to make what's called consequential decisions. That's stuff like job or loan applications or healthcare decisions. If customers don't like the outcome, they can request that a human review it. The prior version of this law would have required companies to act proactively to limit their AI product's ability to discriminate against people. Elon Musk's AI company had sued to block the original version of the law, and the Department of Justice claimed Colorado was requiring companies to, quote, infect their products with woke DEI ideology. This AI issue is split progressive and moderate Democrats at the Capitol. The bill's sponsor, Robert Rodriguez from Denver, says the legislature should not back down from putting guardrails around the AI industry. But the governor, who's also a Democrat and is close to the tech industry, says he thinks AI is better regulated at the federal level.
Polling every year creates more fear from people across the country of their fear of AI, whether it's taking their jobs, whether it's going to enhance their lives, whether it's going to take up their water, take up their power. And those are the conversations we need to have.
I wish the federal government would take this up, right? I mean, I think it makes a lot more sense as a nation when you have the set of protections nationally rather than 50 different rules in 50 different states.
State legislators passed some other bills that regulate AI this year, including restrictions on the use of AI in psychotherapy and restricting how AI chatbots can interact with kids. Antero Reservoir in Park County is now closed to the public. Denver Water is draining it due to the drought, moving that water to a more protected reservoir. And that means that one of the state's best fishing spots is drying up. Our Mark Salinger was there for the last day on the water.
One, two, three.
When the end of something you love is near, every second counts.
Man, just what a gorgeous morning to end the Antero era off of.
Travis Sawyer wanted to be the first boat on the water Wednesday morning.
Absolutely gorgeous out here.
He knows this is the final sunrise he'll see here, at least for a while.
Very bittersweet emotions out here on the morning of last day. Seems like...
It's hard to imagine the Antero Reservoir.
I don't know, it doesn't feel quite real yet, you know?
Without water.
This whole embankment right here is all totally full of water usually.
And every day, the reservoir northeast of Buena Vista is losing more and more.
A lot of water out here.
This is the final day of fishing here, before all the water is gone.
If I were to not catch one single fish today, I'm having the time of my life right now.
Denver Water is draining Antero to move the water to a different reservoir with a lower evaporation rate. It's all because of the drought.
It's crazy being able to see the bottom so clear like this.
That means people like Travis will lose one of the best fishing spots in the entire state.
It's getting shallower every day. This is generally 15 feet right here, and we are sitting in 10 feet of water right now.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife has stocked more than 5 million fish into Antero since 2020. What's left will die when the water leaves.
Got one more day. We gotta make the move. I missed him.
Around here, it's not if you'll catch a fish.
It looked like a big old brown. It was hard to tell. He made that big jump.
But when?
Look at that thing. He is gorgeous. Beautiful.
From muskie to trout, the fish here are special.
You just want to appreciate every second that you can. That's really all you can do. That's all we're out here for.
One final day on the water he loves before the water is gone.
It's been my favorite thing to do since I learned how to eat and talk and read. That's all I've ever known.
In Park County for Next, I'm Mark Salinger.
Denver Water estimates that draining Antero will save enough water to cover 15,000 households' usage for a year. Antero is shallow and wide. It gets warm faster than other reservoirs, so moving that water down to another reservoir is expected to save quite a bit from rapid evaporation. Colorado Parks and Wildlife says that they will prioritize restocking Antero with fish once our drought improves. The United States Supreme Court has temporarily preserved mail access to a commonly used abortion drug while a legal challenge plays out in Louisiana. This is a case that had the potential to put pressure and perhaps legal scrutiny on providers here in Colorado. The Supreme Court's decision ensures that women will still be able to access the abortion pill mifepristone through the mail without an in-person doctor's visit. It overturns a decision by an appeals court in New Orleans, which required the pill to be distributed in person only. The FDA has not required in-person visits for the drug in years, but Louisiana sued, claiming the mail access violated the state's abortion ban. Abortion advocacy groups say restricting the mail access would have ripple effects in Colorado, especially in rural areas where some patients have to travel hours to get to the nearest provider. Well, if you think that politicians are bought and paid for in Denver, it's pretty tough to prove it. In fact, if you have enough money to hire the right person, you can influence city policy, and if possible, nobody will ever know how exactly you pulled those levers of government. Well, that may change. Our Spencer Soischer explains a new proposal to alter Denver's lobbying laws.
When decisions are made that can't be explained, people often say, follow the money. In Denver, following the money is rather difficult.
You can't see who's getting lobbied, you can't see who's getting paid to lobby, and you really can't see what lobbyists are contacting legislators on what issues.
Andy Sakaris is the chief deputy city clerk. He thinks Denver's lobbying rules need reform. Here's an example, the Alameda debacle. A member of Colorado's richest family hired a former high-level city transportation employee to lobby the transportation director to overturn a finalized road safety project and succeeded. Made a lot of neighbors angry, but if you search for any proof the city met with the lobbyist, you won't find any. We only know about it because those neighbors filed a records request and found mention of the meeting in an email. Inbounds before, Under a new rule, it wouldn't be.
If he was hired to lobby the official process, it would be covered and he would have to report.
The clerk's office is working with Councilwoman Jamie Torres on new reporting rules for lobbyists in the city.
We need to be able to know who's involved in influencing legislators on major issues like that.
The proposal has two tiers to it. The first tier would require lobbyists to report when they meet with city officials and appointees and disclose how much they were paid to do it. And the second is a cooling off period requiring elected officials and mayoral appointees to sit out 18 months before they can start lobbying the city.
We just need to know about it when it happens. I think that's the biggest underlying factor here. It's not that it's happening, but that we want to be really transparent about it when it does.
So one other example Torres says prompted this was the flavored tobacco ban. Both times it came before the city council, lobbyists were swarming from both sides. None of it was reported. It wasn't until the issue hit the ballot where voters got to decide and where campaign finance rules are different that the public could see millions of dollars being spent to influence the outcome there.
So are there any current disclosures?
Yeah, if you get it like a gift, it has to be like some sort of large gift, then you would have to say, yeah, we met, this is what they gave me. Otherwise, no. Like, you could meet with anybody. They don't have to say who they lobbied when. It's on the lobbyist to report it, not on the politician.
Yeah.
But if they meet with them, they don't have to say anything.
My takeaway is if you want something done in the city of Denver, now's the time to grease the skids.
Yeah, like
right
really
now.
Quick.
Like, get it in. Like, right now. Go to work. Okay. Spencer Sosher, thank you. Well, I am no Broncos analyst, and neither is Chris Bianchi, but if you want to hear the hot takes of two guys who have cheersed a lot of beers at Broncos games, we are about to break down the Broncos' newly released schedule live here on air.
You to feel the varying terrain and, you know, all the natural beneath.
A new Braille Trail appeals to all the senses so everyone can get a better feel of nature. That's next.
Uniquely Broncos. So for you Miami fans coming here a mile high, look out and take cover because we are calling for a sack storm warning.
That is our Chris Bianchi, part of the Denver Broncos schedule release video within the last hour. Brother, that had to be pretty cool to get that call that you were going to help to unveil the schedule.
Kyle, nobody knows better than you and my wife about how big of a Broncos fan I am. That was like little boy excitement. That was straight back to being, you know, 10 years old, 11 years old, wearing a Brian Greasy, Jake Plummer jersey, whatever it was I had back in the day. It was that level of excitement when they called me. I said, oh,
that's
I would love it. Isn't that cool?
Let's look at the schedule. This is brutal, man. Oof. The opening 6 weeks, right, open at KC with Mahomes returning from injury, we expect. Then home against the Jags and the Rams. Then on the road against the Niners and the Chargers. Then back home against the Seahawks. You've got five postseason teams from last year. And then the Chiefs, who have been three of the four last Super Bowls. That is a brutal stretch. I mean, you're looking at a situation where unless you're picking off 2 to 3 in that stretch, your season is over by Halloween.
Yeah, I feel like if you come out of that 3-3, you're pretty happy, right? You come out of that 3-3. I do like the bye being right in the middle of the season, and then the end of the season also gets dicey, but it's that middle part that's probably where you got to rack up those wins. But I think if you go 3-3 with that first six games, I think you're in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah, you've got that, like, get-right stretch, right, where it's like the Panthers in Week 9, then the bye, then you've got Raiders, you've got Steelers on Black Friday in Pittsburgh, you got that Dolphins game, you've got the Jets, and you got the Raiders again. So there's a good stretch there to make up some ground from the beginning of the schedule, but I don't know. Where do you have them? I've got them picking up 3 wins in the first 6 weeks, which is probably optimistic, but 3 wins on their way to 10 wins on the season.
I think they're at 11 this year. 11, probably, and that probably gets you a home game, right? That probably gets you a home game, and this will be right at the cusp, depending on, like, tiebreakers and things like that.
Yeah.
I think they're 11-6 this year. I mean, yeah.
Bills coming to town on Christmas? A game on Christmas?
Let's go, right? That is exciting. Every Jewish Coloradan went, let's go, right?
I mean, man, some of us have plans on Christmas, man.
I mean,
I got plans.
And my fellow Jews out there are going like, we got nothing to do. Let's go to Mile High and go check out the game. Maybe load up on Chinese food before the game.
Yeah.
Then go. Are you going to be there? Those are your right.
You have my wife's phone number. You call. you have that conversation, not me. What did we leave? 15 seconds for you to talk about weather?
Yeah, hot today. And then looking ahead here, we do have a threat for some stronger storms this weekend. Saturday, some gusty winds, some hail possible across the Northeast Plains. That does include Denver. We do get some meaningful rain this weekend. Not talking about, a sack storm kind of rain here, but we are talking about the potential for some rain and some mountain snow Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And it looks pretty active for us. And then Denver, hopefully here, folks, we can get another half inch to an inch of rain. So that 7-day forecast, warm, warm, then a big cool down. And so, Kyle, one of our things here, one of our staples, might have to be looking at a soup weather warning Monday and Tuesday.
Soup weather warning. Bianchi says 11 wins for the Broncos. I say 10. We both may be optimistic. When we return, a new accessible trail encourages hikers to feel the great outdoors. Bianchi's still in here. We're still talking about the schedule. Coloradans are lucky to have some of the most beautiful mountains and hiking trails right in our backyard. Folks with vision issues, though, sometimes can miss out. A new Braille trail in the foothills near Idaho Springs tries to make sure everybody enjoys the great outdoors.
Let's go for a walk. Let's take a journey. So a Braille trail is a trail that is specifically designed for people with visual impairments, blind, all kinds of disabilities. My name is James Mahoney. I was the MSU intern that started in January of 25 last year. Started writing grants, and one of the grants that I wrote and was approved for was to construct a Braille trail here at our campground at Always Choose Adventures.
My name is Mike Goldblatt, and I'm the president of the board of Always Choose Adventures. We try to make it very inclusive in that we don't charge anything at all for groups that are disabled or disadvantaged. The whole thing is to get a free accessibility to the outdoors.
You can stop and feel the trees. We want you to feel the varying terrain and, you know, all the natural beneath, all of it. Like we named it the Braille Trail, but it is definitely far more of a sensory adaptive trail. Yeah. You know, anybody that wants to experience these things was the goal, is the idea. The main piece that I would say makes it the Braille Trail is we're designing a couple of signs that will explain some of the history, some of what they might be feeling under their feet or feeling, you know, in the winds and smelling the experiences. And all of that will be translated into Braille.
When we had that young boy, Jensen, a two-year-old, test it for us, it was just a joy.
It definitely hits you in the heart when someone who has never experienced the outdoors because of his own visual impairments, it hits you in a way that I can't put into words. All right. We're just trying to get everybody out here and really show that everybody is can go out and still have an adventure.
We're back with your feedback right after Marilyn's prediction for the number of Broncos wins on the season.
This is probably crazy optimistic, but I'm going 12.
12 wins?
12.
My goodness, my goodness. She's brought Kool-Aid for everyone. We're back with your feedback next. Late feedback tonight from Dave in Snowmass Village. He says, Kyle, please clarify whether the proposed ban on male accessibility to women's health rights applies to medicines or whether it applies to male contraceptives. I think I know what you're getting at right there, Dave, and that shade would be enough to save the water at Antero Reservoir. Now, we're talking about women's contraceptives sent through the mail. No challenge to any of the male MALE stuff. We'll see you next time on the road from Grand Junction.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.